You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to episode 168 of the Talking Chop podcast. I am your host, Brad Roland, and joining me for this emergency episode is the great Scott Coleman. What's up, man?
No podcast like an emergency podcast.
This is what we do. I actually tweeted, and I'm going to do this as a surprise to everybody when I actually posted. I tweeted earlier that this wasn't going to happen, and then you found some time, I found some time. It's post-midnight. It's now Friday on the East Coast, still Thursday where you are. But let's talk about Dallas Keuchel, because Dallas Keuchel is the newest member of the Atlanta Braves. Pretty surprising in some circles, considering all of the local reporting up until maybe 24 hours ago that was kind of, the doors were closing based on what we have been hearing. And then we had the slight opening of the door on Thursday morning with some national reporting. And then the ball went rolling down the hill. And by the end of the night, Dallas Keuchel for a $20 million contract that became prorated down to $13 million. I'm not stunned, not blown away, but it is kind of a surprise based on where we were even just a few hours ago.
Yeah, it kind of played out, honestly, like Craig Kimbrell did yesterday. It came out midday today. I think it was Mark Feinsand of MLB.com, who's pretty plugged in with the Yankees as well, and said originally it was between the Braves and Yankees, and then he came out and said, looks like the Yankees are the front runners, and at least in his opinion, he thought they would get the deal done. And then all of a sudden, around 7 or 8 o'clock Eastern tonight is when word really started coming down that the Braves were really making a push. So it all escalated pretty quickly. Dave O'Brien was the one who was the first one to report it. So shout out to him, especially in a time when the front office in Atlanta has been so tight-lipped. But yeah, it's I don't know if it necessarily is a big surprise, but it's a move that everybody will certainly welcome, especially with the way the rotation's been a little Jekyll and Hyde lately. Seems like they're either getting 7 shutout innings or they're struggling to get 4 or 5 innings with 6 or 7 runs on the board. So a big signing, to be clear. It'll be interesting just how long it takes Keuchel to get ready and be up in Atlanta, but a big day for the team, and credit to them for dropping $13 million in the middle of a season. That's not an insignificant amount of money, and something that will hopefully really help stabilize the Braves.
Yeah, it's a good bridge to something I wanted to talk about. Let's just do it now, is that I put together a little bit of a mini thread early Thursday morning with my frustrations on some of the reporting and some of the non-spending. And of course, the Braves come back later that evening and make me look silly by spending money in a big way. And, one of my big contentions on Thursday morning when I said that was the payroll being lower than last year and all the stuff that we talked about 100 times on this podcast. But when you go out and spend $13 million prorated, for basically a little bit more than half the season on a starting pitcher, that is a nice move, and we have to credit them as such. We've been critical of them, and I think a lot of fans have been justifiably critical of the front office and of the ownership group for not spending money, but they're spending money here, so we should give them some credit on that. With that said, it's a one-year deal. It's not a huge long-term commitment, and I'm still wondering why they're not. I guess some of the reporting was before they actually got the deal done was that they didn't want to go multiple years. They were worried about, that kind of stuff. I'm not really sure why that is for multiple years, but it's still, it's better, all things considered, probably, to sign him to a one-year contract. So it worked out pretty well for the Braves. Let's talk about Keuchel the pitcher first before we get into the sort of ramifications of everything that goes on with the rotation. The last 5 seasons combined, he has a 3.28 ERA and almost 1,000 innings of work. That is pretty darn impressive. In the grand scheme, of course, he was a Cy Young winner a few years ago. It's worth pointing out, obviously, he's getting a very late start to this season, so that's kind of a question mark. He's not the youngest guy in the world. He's 31 years old, and last year he wasn't quite as dominant. He had a 3.74 ERA in 204 innings. He has been fairly durable. Not a strikeout guy by any means. Kind of a weird pitcher in today's game, and that he's not a strikeout guy really at all, but good control guy, and has managed to outperform his peripherals most of his career so far as a result of just the way that he's been able to pitch. So, you know, all the things that we talk about with the money and the ramifications, what are you expecting from Keuchel once he's actually ready to pitch? It's going to be a little while before he's ready, we assume, but once he's in there, what are the Braves actually getting here?
Yeah, like you said, he's not going to blow you away. His fastball sits upper 80s. I mean, people have kind of called him a lefty Julio Teheran, which I think is underselling who Keuchel has been the last 5 or 6 years. But yeah, not someone who's going to blow you away. Last year, strikeout numbers were down a little bit. The one thing that he's done really well throughout his entire career is get ground balls. And you think about the Braves infield defense right now, it's as good as it is in the major leagues. Freddie at first, Ozzie, Dansby and Donaldson, that's a really strong infield all the way around. So you hope that he's able to get his sinker working and just let guys beat balls into the grass all game long. You mentioned he's kind of unconventional in today's game. It seems like everybody throws mid upper 90s and has a wipeout slider. That's not really his game. He likes to work batters. He locates well. He's kind of like a poor man's Tom Glavin, really, when you think about what he does. Again, I think it's going to be, if he does make his first start in Gwinnett, which is a little bit of a surprise too, that he's going to start pretty high up in the minor. I mean, he's starting as high as he can in the minor leagues. Some people thought he might start out in A ball or double A just to kind of get his feet wet for his first start. But it's going to be interesting to see just if there is much rust, and obviously he's going to need a couple of tune-up starts. You can't just come off the couch and attack big leaguers, but a guy who knows what he's doing on the mound. It's not his first go around. A guy who also has a ton of playoff experience with the Astros the last handful of years. The one thing I wanted to point out was, and I tweeted about this a couple of days ago when it was reported that Kimbrel and Keuchel were nearing signing after the draft, is the familiarity with him. Mike Fast is basically the number three in the Braves' front office right now. He obviously knows Keuchel very well coming over from the Astros. And then Brian McCann, who spent the last 3 or 4 years with Houston before coming here, is very familiar with Keuchel as well. Seems like he almost always caught Keuchel whenever he started. So those two guys, I would imagine, were two of the big driving forces behind getting him here.
For sure. It's a good thing that you pointed out there. And, you know, we don't really know unless someone tells us that those guys were like the biggest reason, but that certainly seems to be a potential sort of window into why this came together, when and how it did. I mean, Keuchel, you know, last year kind of scares you a little bit in that the ground ball rate was down from where it was when he was, you know, at his best, down to 54% or so. But still somebody who, even when he was, quote, not as good, like kind of struggling, he was still a 3-1 pitcher last year, according to Fangraphs. Like, part of that is just durability and all the innings that he can throw. But at the same time, he's a, you know, on paper, obviously we don't know what he's going to look like because he hasn't been pitching, but provided he's himself, and there's no reason to think that he can't be himself, he's an upgrade, obviously, for the Braves rotation. And that's kind of the big thing we talk about now before we wrap this thing up. It's going to be kind of a short podcast because of the time of day and all the stuff that we're just going to have basically a one-topic podcast. But, you know, the rotation's been kind of bad recently. Aside from Mike Soroka, and weirdly, Julio Teheran's been pretty solid, which is not, I think it's smoke and mirrors, but hey, it's working. Kevin Gausman, you know, much has been made about maybe that prompted the Braves into action because Gausman's been kind of a disaster. The last two starts for Gausman, 6 innings, 20 hits, 15 runs. Ooh. That's not good.
Yeah.
And then you have Folty's not been himself recently. He's not been as bad as Gausman by any means, but there's been some ugly moments for Folty. And even Max Fried, who's obviously been good for the whole season, has kind of cooled off. He's given up 9 earned runs in his last 9 innings and has a 5.18 ERA over the last 8 starts. So I'm not worried about Max Fried necessarily, but having Dallas Keuchel does provide you with someone who you would assume is safely in the rotation in a couple weeks from now when he's ready to go. You know, do we just assume they keep rolling with Gausman for now until Keuchel is ready? What happens when Keuchel is back if Gausman suddenly stabilizes? Like, what are kind of the options here for the Braves?
Yeah.
I guess including a 6-man rotation, because that could be something they could do as well if they want to save some innings for Soroka and Fried.
Yeah, I think in the immediate future, I don't know. We were talking about it yesterday that they have a few options. I think one is seeing if you could stretch out Touki Toussaint for him to be a starter too. If you're going to put Gausman on the IL with a phantom injury of some kind, I guess you could try to stretch out Tukey and see if he could throw 75, 80 pitches. But again, he's been really strong in the bullpen role. I'm not sure you want to mess with that. Same thing for Sean Newcomb, who has just been a revelation in the bullpen. I'm not sure you necessarily want to throw him back in the starting rotation when he's only been throwing an inning or two for the last month, really. And he's been so important from the left side, especially with no A.J. Minter. And of course, Jesse Biddle being gone, they really needed that left-handed shutdown guy, and Newcomb has been that. Minor leagues, Kyle Wright hasn't been very good in Gwinnett. Bryce Wilson has been okay. I'm not sure he's somebody you necessarily want to throw in. Now, maybe they do try it out for a week or so and see if they can get Gausman right with some side sessions and phantom IL him. I don't know. So I think at least for the interim, you probably keep going with Gausman. I don't know how exactly it's going to line up. I would imagine his next start is going to come at home next week against Pittsburgh once again, which probably isn't the best considering how he fared against him two nights ago. But at this point, you obviously aren't going to get Keuchel tomorrow. He's going to need at least, I would imagine, two starts, maybe three, maybe four, depending on how the stuff is. So in the interim, I think they're going to probably keep things as they are and just hope that Gausman rebounds a little bit.
Yeah, that's the weird part here, is that just the simple logistics of having a guy who hasn't pitched, he's going to take a little bit of time, so you can't just slot him in. You know, Gausman, famously, his peripherals are not as bad as his ERA is, but he's just looked awful in these last two starts. It's not been smoke and mirrors. You know, before that, you know, people, including myself, were arguing that Gausman kind of hadn't been as bad as people thought he was. But these last two starts, I watched both of them. They were both really bad.
Yeah.
And it's two starts, but, you know, he's a guy who basically is a two-pitch pitcher, and if they're not going, he's got nothing else to go to. So it's shaky for Kevin Gausman. I've been someone who's been, I think, probably pro him in general, but recently it's been kind of rough. And if Julio starts to regress, you're in some big trouble, because he's not regressed so far. He's been kind of floating between the raindrops to some extent. So basically, long story short, Dallas Keuchel is, if he's himself, is at worst your third-best pitcher? Probably. I mean, maybe fourth, if you want to say that Folty figures it out, and so does Max Fried. Maybe at worst you say is your fourth best pitcher, but I think pretty safely Keuchel is better than Julio and Gausman if he is Dallas Keuchel in capital letters.
Yeah, and I think last year there's nothing that you look at. You mentioned the strikeouts were down a little bit. His batting average on balls in play was a little bit higher than it had been, and that was probably the reason for the spike in ERA. But you look at his pitches, all of his pitches were in line. It's not like he saw a big decline in velocity. If anything, his fastball was a little bit faster in 2018 than it was in 17, so that's encouraging. So, yeah, again, you don't want to just pencil in this guy as somebody who you can turn to for seven innings or so every night and expect him to be close to the Cy Young winner that he was in 2015. But at the same time, the Braves obviously must have felt good watching his side sessions, watching his bullpens over the last month or however long they've been scouting him. They must have felt pretty good to guarantee $13 million, which is a significant chunk of money. I mean, this isn't a flyer on a reliever for $2 million who was pitching in an independent league somewhere. This is significant money, and all spring long we heard, we want to save money for the season. I think everyone thought it was just kind of lip service from the front office, but again, to their credit, they went out, they took a chance. I mean, this is not a risk-free move. I think it negates obviously the risk down the road, because it's just a one-year deal and he'll be a free agent come October or November. But at the same time, this is $13 million that could be used elsewhere in trades or what have you. So a significant risk, just because of the money, but I think it's a move that's worthwhile. I am a big fan of the signing, for if that wasn't clear, I guess, in the first 15 minutes or so.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly a scenario where it doesn't work, like you said. Like, it's just not a risk-free move just because he's not pitching right now. If he was healthy, and we knew that, you know, obviously he is healthy, but if we knew that if he was pitching somewhere else so far this season and you were trading for him at this salary, it would be a much easier move to just, like, definitely rubber stamp. I still like it, though. It's, you know, he's a good pitcher, and, you know, it doesn't mean that he has to be awesome when he arrives, because we just don't know that. But everything is track record to say he's had one basically shaky season in the last five. He's a good pitcher, and he really helps you. And again, credit to the Braves. We've not given them a ton of credit for spending. This is a good spend for Dallas Keuchel, I think. You know, it doesn't make them, like, he's not a dominant number one either. I think those days are probably over when he was the Cy Young winner, as we talked about earlier. But at the very least, his presence helps strengthen your rotation. And with the way the bullpen has been this year, adding more pitching help anywhere just helps you. And, you know, I think for the longest time, at least I've thought Kimbrel was probably more likely, but neither guy was likely. We were wrong about that, obviously. Keuchel was the guy that ended up being signed, and I think he helps them. I mean, there's no really way around that. Like, it'll be interesting to see how much he helps them, but, you know, this is kind of an easy move to approve. That's kind of all I have to say about that. We're kind of famous for being skeptical in some ways, but this is a move that is just kind of like, yep, they did a good thing here. There's no really question about it.
Yeah, no, it was a pleasant surprise, to be sure. I think once you saw that the Braves are going up against the Yankees and maybe the Twins as the primary contenders, you thought, oh, there's no way the Braves are going to outbid the Yankees.
Yeah, outbidding the Yankees is pretty jarring just on the surface.
Yeah. Yeah, and it sounds like, based on a couple reports, that the Yankees were pretty set at $11 million for Keuchel, and obviously the Braves did a little bit more than that. So, yeah, you wouldn't think that $1 million or two would be the tipping point for the New York Yankees, but I guess so. So, you know, hats off to the Braves for getting it done. And as you said, this makes them a better team. Now you hope that he's sharp in a couple of rehab starts and he's back in the rotation by end of the month or even start of July.
Yeah, I mean, looking forward a bit here before we get out of here, Dave O'Brien, who, as you noted earlier, actually broke this news, and credit to him for that, did note that this is not going to be something that just completely takes the Braves out of more spending. I think he noted that they were still being in the market for a reliever, and they still have the room to do that if they wanted to. That's encouraging to hear from someone who's plugged in and, you know, understands the dynamics in play. I think this is definitely going to be the big move. It would not blow me away if they made a trade or something like that midseason and added some bullpen help, because they're going to need some bullpen help. But, you know, adding $13 million in payroll midseason is probably going to be the big move, you have to assume. But maybe not. And at least the door's not completely closed. You know, does this, I guess, big picture, does this change your outlook of the team overall? It obviously helps them, but how much, to sort of wrap this thing up a little bit, how much impact does this move have for you in your brain in terms of the bottom line of the season?
Well, if you would ask me at the start of the day, I think in my heart of hearts, I would pick the Braves to beat the Phillies for the East and beat them by a game or two. So that obviously helps, adding Keuchel. It can't hurt in any way, right? I do think, no, like you said, obviously it limits the money they have to spend. But at the same time, generally, relief pitchers at the trade deadline, because you're only paying for 2 months or so, and because they're generally not making a big salary, even a big salary for a well-established reliever at $10 million or so, you're only going to pay $4 million or so on a prorated basis if you make a trade. So, and many of them are making far less than $10 million. So I think it leaves the door open. I guess it would probably close the door on adding somebody like Madison Bumgarner or Marcus Stroman, though. I guess you never say never.
Barring injury, I think it'd be a pretty surprising move if they went and did that now.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, again, if every team that's in contention at the trade deadline is always looking for bullpen help, even teams with good bullpens usually add a reliever or two just because things are going to happen. So
just ask the Yankees last year, who kept adding more and more and more and more and more guys. Yankees have like five closers on their roster. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, you should. And that's, you know, in today's game, it's how you get to the World Series, frankly. It's why all the recent World Series winners have had really good bullpens. So, I think it leaves the door open for some relievers, maybe some bench help. You hope everybody stays healthy and they aren't suddenly scrambling for a position player. But a good day all around, and certainly helps their chances in the East, especially since they've been neck and neck with the Phillies pretty much all year.
Yeah, most of the projection systems are probably going to have them, you know, not changing too much here. I actually do some work for Sportsline, which is the CBS gambling projection kind of system, and I'm on the email chains, and I got the email that basically said that the projection isn't going to change that much with Keuchel on the Braves, which doesn't really surprise me. He's not the kind of guy, he's not like, you're not adding Justin Verlander. He's going to be someone who I think is an upgrade, but it might be like, over the course of a full season, he might have changed your projection like one win. Like, it's not a crazy ad here, considering he's coming in mid-June and probably won't start until almost July. That's about a half season of impact, and if he is a three-win pitcher overall, that's about a win and a half, and that still matters, especially in the playoffs if you get there. But
guys don't grow on trees either.
You know, for sure. I mean, he's honestly, he might be better than Madison Bumgarner. Like, that's the thing. Like, and you're doing it without. I know you're paying him, but it's not your money, so giving up prospect capital to trade for Madison Bumgarner versus just spending Liberty Media's money for a half season on Dallas Keuchel, one of those things does not impact you in the future, and the other one does. So, if the impact on the field is pretty much similar between those two guys, this is a better outcome almost certainly.
Yeah, I agree completely. And like you said, you hang on to your prospects. You have all your assets available to make a trade for a closer or a setup guy, whatever you may need come 6 weeks or so from now. You have everybody available.
Absolutely. All right, Scott, I kept you too long already, but thank you for joining me on this emergency podcast. You got anything else going on in Bravesland? You've been writing anything going on? I know we're all kind of scrambling. I know Eric's on vacation or something. I'm going out of town for a less than desirable thing tomorrow, but we're all over the place. So you got anything going right now?
I'll be back on the pod with you on Sunday night.
That's the plan.
Hopefully celebrating a St. Louis Blues Stanley Cup, which would be pretty cool. And then hopefully the Braves, obviously the next couple of days, take care of business against the Marlins because they need to do that.
Yes, they do. And we'll talk much more about, I have notes for our regular podcast stuff that we're not going to get into tonight because this is just a one topic podcast, but plenty to talk about over the last like 2 weeks, including the fact that the last time we recorded, we were recording in the middle of a game that the Braves came back from like a 99.5% chance of losing last Sunday when it was Eric and I. It was pretty funny. And we're just going to kind of ignore that now, but that was an insane comeback that the Braves were down 3 runs in the ninth. It was like the first time anybody all season had come back from a 3-run deficit in the ninth inning. It was just all this crazy stuff that we've just missed, and we'll kind of rectify that in a couple days when you and I reconvene. But thank you for joining me unexpectedly on this fine evening, and hopefully people will appreciate this bit of goodwill and a 25-minute podcast, something like that.
Yeah, man, always happy to be on. Thank you for having me, and go Braves.
Go Braves indeed. As for everybody else, please subscribe to the pod. We'll be back in a couple of days. Tell your friends, share the podcast, and we'll see you guys then.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.
Support for this show comes from Fundrise. Buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise Flagship Fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its $1 billion real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise Flagship Fund to your portfolio in just minutes and with as little as $10 by visiting fundrise.com/fox. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise Flagship Fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.